Hello and welcome to the first session of Intimidation Crusher. My name is Kelly McCauzy. I am so excited to be doing this, and I'm excited about how many people have decided to join in with us live. I'm a huge fan of time-shifted learning, so I never judge somebody based on whether or not they're with us live or with us on the recording. So hello to everybody who's listening to this eventually. I want to invite you, if you are here with us live, if you haven't already, pop into the chat, tell us where you're from. And if you want to, pop in a link to your primary website. I really like everyone to get to know each other and have context about the people that they are engaging with. I want to thank everyone who filled out the form. I asked people to post an introduction in the in one of my emails. I just said you can fill out a form and give me some information about you. And a lot of you did that. So thank you. I love the context for everybody. Now, I chose not to set up a separate Facebook group for Intimidation Crusher because I'm an anti-hoarder and having too many Facebook groups makes my butt twitch. But I do have the main Facebook group for Love People and Make Money, and I want to have discussions there about Intimidation Crusher. So if you want to post introductions there and just say, hey guys, I'm participating with Intimidation Crusher. I just want to say hi, let you know more about me. Here's my website, all that jazz. Do it there. Not everybody in the group is participating with Intimidation Crusher, but that's okay if they find out something about you too, right? And that group will always be there so we don't lose connection with you later. So, Intimidation Crusher. What does it mean to be intimidated? And if you weren't intimidated, what would you be doing? Those are the questions, the curious questions that I want to lean into today. So, intimidation is a problem when it stops you from taking appropriate action in growing your business and living the kind of life you dream of. Can I get an amen? Intimidation is a problem when it stops you from taking appropriate action. Intimidation is always going to be there to some degree. But I got to tell you, I get intimidated all the time. But it doesn't always stop me from taking action. So the fact that a little intimidation exists, or that a lot of intimidation exists, it's only a problem if I let it stop me. So I'm not calling this intimidation eradicator because I don't know how to eradicate intimidation. I always want to be taking myself and my business to the next level. So you know that saying, new level, new devil? We're always growing and taking a step up and running into new situations that intimidate us, new people that intimidate us. I don't want that to stop. I just want to crush it when I come up against it. I want to take action anyways, if that makes sense. So, you guys, if anybody has popped into the room with their video on, you can turn it off. You don't need to have video on. So, intimidation, what does it mean to you? What is intimidating? I want to switch over here. So, some people intimidate us. Some situations intimidate us. sometimes we are experiencing intimidation. Sometimes we are feeling intimidated. Some people are intimidating. There's all these different ways that we can say the word, right? I got curious just this morning, what's the opposite of intimidation? Anyone have some thoughts about that? Ooh, Kathy says inspiring. That's a good one. Adela says, I don't connect with the word intimidation. For me, it's not an external thing. My sticking point is internal. Oh, hell yeah. Intimidation is internal. It's all internal. Unless it's physical, like someone is physically intimidating you, intimidation is all internal. Tricia says, confidence is opposite of intimidation. Jennifer says, calm mastery. Cynthia says, courageous. Good words. Let me tell you the word that I came up with. Instead of intimidate, invite. Instead of intimidation, invitation. Instead of intimidating, inviting. What do you think about those words? When we come up against a situation or a person, a circumstance, it can intimidate us or invite us. We can experience intimidation or invitation. We can be intimidating or we can be inviting. I got so excited when I just looked at the visual of this. Intimidate versus invite. Intimidation versus invitation. Sorry, I got to make my words a little smaller. Intimidating versus inviting. I think if you printed this out, if you wrote this on a sticky or printed this out and put it somewhere where you could look at it, keeping in mind, intimidation is all internal. It's all about how we perceive the situation. Then any situation, any person, any consequence, or anything, we could choose to perceive it as intimidating or inviting. We can choose. So let me pause for a second. If you weren't intimidated, what would you be focusing on? I want you to feel free, and I really want to invite you to experience this whole conversation as something that can apply to both your business and your life. But we are coming together as entrepreneurs, so the focus is on the things that are intimidating us from growing our business. To have this conversation and have it be meaningful, we need to know, what are we being intimidated about? What is the intimidation stopping us from taking action on? So, the way I see it, to be successful, we need to be able to act in six different areas of focus. to be successful as a business owner. And those six different areas, I want to share them with you now. I'm just going to run through them quick because I don't think that they're going to be mysterious to any of you. Number one, the first area is in identifying purpose. This is the first step for everyone. Why are we creating our business? What do we want to bring to it? Who are we going to serve? And why have we chosen them as a market? When we can answer these questions, we can develop our brand. We can decide what it's going to look like, what it's going to stand for. If we can't answer these questions, if we've glossed over this area of focus, then everything else we tackle creates a sticking point. Decisions are harder, confusion seeps in, we get lost in a maze of not knowing what to do next. If I grab a cup of coffee with you, which by the way, virtually, I am going to with every single one of you, I'm going to have a private one-on-one 30-minute chat. I want to be able to grasp in that half hour your purpose, your intentions, your target market, and your brand identity before I have finished my coffee. If it isn't that simple, then this area, the area of identifying purpose, deserves more of your focus. So, the first area of focus is identifying purpose. By the way, you can take notes, but you don't have to because I've written this stuff down for you. I will send it to you after today's session with a little replay. The second area of focus is choosing technology. And notice I say choosing technology, not mastering technology. I'm purposeful in saying that this area of focus is about making choices because more often than not, I don't even want you to try to master every item of technology that impacts your business. Much of the expertise required in setting up software that's going to help run your business can and should be outsourced. Amen. There are a few upfront tech choices you've got to face. And more down the road as new opportunities arise. So knowing what tech deserves your study and operation and what doesn't is super important. Too many entrepreneurs have spent all their time in this area of focus to the detriment of their business growth. They get so wrapped up in the tech. This is an important area of focus, but it's not where we live. Unless, like, that's what we do is provide tech services. So we had number one is identifying purpose. Number two is choosing technology. Number three is attracting traffic. Content marketing is all about getting traffic from our chosen target market. That's your blogging, podcasting, social media posts, videos, live streams, webinars, opt-in gifts, advertising. We do it all to get their attention, be of service, and make them want more. This area of focus is part creating the content and part strategically putting it out there where it can be found. The fourth area of focus is building community. Once someone has found our content, found it useful, said yes to some small step towards being in community with us, we're moving into a focus of building those relationships. This means they've said yes to an opt-in gift. We're now engaging them with emails. They said yes to an online community invitation, and now we're engaging them in conversation wherever that is. Community isn't entirely about being in relationship with those you hope to sell to. It's also about creating connection with our contemporaries, people we're going to partner with and learn from ourselves. The fifth area of focus is creating something to sell. One, two, three, and four is all about creating a situation where we can make a sale. All the community marketing, all the content marketing and community building is for nothing if we never offer them anything. So maybe you're the product because you offer services or consulting. Are you going to create and sell access to courses or memberships, digital resources? Will you be making offers through affiliate links? This is such an important area of focus and perhaps one of the most intimidating. If I run into you or say hi to you on social media and ask you, what are you offering right now? What are you getting ready to offer right now? You should be able to answer that question. The sixth area of focus for entrepreneurs is developing mindset. When any of the first five areas of focus fail to get their due attention, it's about your mindset. It pays to spend some time looking into your mindset. Think about the day and age that we live in, you guys. When building an online business has never been so well documented and taught, when so many resources and guides are available to help you make it happen, and yet it doesn't, it's almost always about what's going on between your ears. It's intimidation is internal. Our minds are full of trickster thoughts that intimidate us into inaction or distract us with self-protective busy work. These live intimidation crusher sessions are going to put the bright light of awareness on these trickster thoughts, breaking their power and creating new possibilities. Does that sound awesome? Cindy asks, are there slides? No, there's no slides. I'm just have something up on my screen because I want something up there. But no, I don't do slide decks personally. Okay, I've introduced six areas of focus. I'm gonna paste them up, paste them into the chat, and let me put them up here on the screen really quick. These are the six areas of focus. Curious, having heard me describe them, is there one area more than another where you experience intimidation? Anybody? You can unmute yourself if you want to talk to me, or you can type in responses. Lynn says she feels intimidation about mindset, creating a product, making offers, creating products. In some ways, this goes in a logistical order. You've got to nail purpose before you can move forward and do anything else. And you have to make some decisions about technology before you can begin to publish content. And you have to create content before you can attract a community. You've got to have a community before you can sell them something. So in some ways, this is logistical steps. But once you've stepped through them successfully at least one time, we actually shift about between them. So for those of you who are very early in the process of creating a business, you can look at these areas of focus and say, I'm not clear on my purpose yet. So that's where your focus belongs right now. If you're clear on that, but you haven't gotten clear on the tech that you're going to be using, then that's where your focus belongs right now. If your tech is chosen and you're ready to begin creating content, then attracting traffic, your content marketing is where your focus belongs right now. But once you've stepped through all of those, for those of you who've been in business for a while, you have your purpose clear, your tech chosen, content is out there, community is growing, you've got products to offer. Now, where does your focus go? It's about deciding. So, what makes sense to do next? Do I need to create some more content? Do I need to spend some time engaging with my community? Do I need to focus on offers? I do all these things all the time, but only one at a time. One of the ways that we intimidate ourselves, one of the ways that we experience intimidation, is by not having a clear plan. Not choosing, how am I going to spend my time today? What is my week going to look like? What's my goal? Do I want to publish a podcast, write a blog post, email my list 4 times, engage with my community, work on my product? Yes, to all of the above, but not all at once. If I get up on Monday morning and I've got 3 hours available to work and I try to do all of those things at one time, I'm going to make myself crazy. I'm going to be confused, frustrated, and overwhelmed. But when I get up on Monday and I've got 3 hours to work and I say, those 3 hours are going to be spent, 2 hours will be spent in the area of attracting traffic. I'm going to work on content. And 1 hour is going to be spent engaging intentionally with my community. If I know 2 hours is going to go here and 1 hour is going to go here, then guess what I'm not thinking about? Any of the other things. They just don't get my attention. They don't get my focus. They don't get a chance to overwhelm and frustrate me. Tuesday, I wake up. I've got 4 hours available. Where am I going to spend my time? When you think about these areas of focus that way, you can make a choice. You can make a plan. You can say, this is where my time's going to go. You're not confused. You're not frustrated. You're not sure what to do. And if you know the areas, I want to share a screen with you real quick. I actually brainstormed this using Trello. So if anybody would like a copy of this Trello board, you can let me know. Send me an email with your Trello email address. And I'll duplicate this board for you just so you can use it as a little brainstorming tool. If I know where my focus belongs, that say writing a blog post and publishing a new podcast and engaging with my social community is the best use of my time today. If I know that, that's the plan I create. And I don't let the other areas of focus distract me. So I wouldn't spend any time looking at technology. I wouldn't spend any time working on products. I would just focus on the areas that I know is right to focus on. If you can be clear about what the areas of focus are for you and clear about which deserve your time now, you can take the right actions. Yes or no? If you know what you if you know what the areas of focus are, if you know which areas serve you best today, then you know what to do. If you're clear and you know where to where your focus belongs and why, you know what to do, and you don't do it, what's going on? Something about that area of focus intimidates you. Something about nailing your purpose intimidates you. Something about tech intimidates you. Something about creating content and getting eyeballs intimidates you. Something about building and engaging with a community intimidates you. Something about creating a product and making an offer and asking for money intimidates you. Do you know, like just looking at this, does your gut just wrench about one particular area or a couple or all of them? Who knows? This first session, I'm thrilled that we got through this in the first half an hour, because this whole first part of this, the reason I wanted to share it is that if we don't have a clear focus on what we want to do and why, then the conversation of intimidation stays too fluffy and fuzzy and woo-woo. And you know, it fluffy fuzzy woo talk is great, but difficult to do something about without a clear focus. So that's why I wanted to highlight what are the specific areas of focus entrepreneurs need to pay attention to. If we can identify these six areas of focus and then sort what we do into them, then we can start to say, I know what I want to, I know what I need to focus on. I know exactly what I want to do within that area of focus. I know I want to give that area of focus 3 hours on Wednesday. If you can be that clear, you are so much better set up to get it done and to overcome intimidation. Sometimes just being this clear is all it takes to break through the intimidation. Because sometimes as entrepreneurs, the intimidation is a general sense of being intimidated by it all. If you're new, then you might generally feel intimidated by all of these areas of focus. But guess what? You only have to focus on one at a time. If we can sweep away the areas that don't need your attention right now, then we're right then and there delivering you from some of that intimidation. Does that make sense? I would like to hear some responses to what are you thinking about right now? Anybody want to unmute themselves and share? Not yet. Not yet, apparently. Okay, so. I said our minds are full of trickster thoughts that intimidate us into inaction or distract us with self-protective busy work. These sessions are going to put the bright light of awareness on these trickster thoughts, breaking their power and creating new possibilities for everyone. I want to introduce you to the trickster. And some of you are familiar with the term, some of you are not. In order to introduce you to the trickster, I need to introduce you to the concept of ego versus essence. You guys notice I'm using my Photoshop just to type things on the screen. Ego versus essence. I don't know what these words mean to you, but I'm going to tell you what they mean to me. Ego isn't, oh, she's got a big ego. She thinks an awful lot of herself. That's not how we're using the term ego in this situation. Ego is our thinking, our programming, all the ways that we've come to look at the world, the filters and programming and gut reactions. Some people call it the monkey mind, the lizard mind, whatever. It's just all the stinking thinking. But ego's not all bad. Ego, the thinking reactive, the thinking and reactive parts of our brain are quite useful. You know, my ego keeps me away from the edge. Had I been on a cliff, ego keeps me from putting my hand in hot flame. Ego protects me in many positive, useful ways. Wouldn't you agree? Ego runs us more often than not. Ego offers up thoughts and reactions and interpretations of life. Essence, on the other side, comes from something completely different. Essence is who we are outside of all that filtering and programming. Now, I happen to be a Christian, so I, an imperfect correlation is like flesh versus spirit. Maybe that'll appeal to some of you. If ego is all my thinking and programming, essence is my spirit, my intuition, my childlike joy and creativity. When I describe the words like that, does it start to get clear for you? What's the difference between ego and essence? Do you have some favorite ways to sort that out? Like, here's my thinking, calculating brain, and here's my creative, intuitive side. We could line up 15 different people, and they would probably define these words a little bit different each time, and that's okay. Certainly not my goal to create an encyclopedia-worthy definition, but I do want to just highlight that we do have two different ways of responding to life and decisions. There's the thinking, calculating side, and there's the intuitive, creative side. And you know the difference. Some of you know it, the difference very well. And some of you are just getting an inkling of what it means. Sometimes we just know something. Like, I just know this is the right thing to do. And sometimes you're calculating a decision. Do you feel the difference between the two? Ego is self-protective. And that's good. Most of the time. Well, some of the time. Ego is the thinking, calculating, filtering, self-protective inner voice. Does this make sense? Can we agree in a general sense?
I think it makes more sense to me now, kind of putting it like that, because it's like my ego is telling me, you know, all these things, you know, like I'm not quite there yet. I still need more time. I need to learn more. I need, you know, this and that. But then the essence is the one where it's like, I know that I'm good enough. I know I'm just as good as everybody else. And, you know, that there's a lot of people out there that don't have it together that are coming off as an expert and being thought of as an expert and really succeeding. So is that kind of what you're getting at?
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If we embrace the idea that for the purposes of this conversation, ego is the thinking, calculating, filtering, self-protective inner voice. We can understand that can be good or bad. Can we agree with that? It's good when ego does the math. It's good when ego does, does the accounting. It's good when ego builds the bridges. I want ego involved in all kinds of smart stuff. I want my medical care calculated, thinking and calculated and protective of me. I want ego to play and run the ship in those situations. But ego, while it is structurally sound in many situations, it is unsound in many other situations. So just for a moment, thinking about the first area of focus that an entrepreneur has to conquer to build a successful business, identifying purpose. Just making up a story off the top of my head. Tina Two-Step is a 30-something divorced mother of two, college dropout, has had three different jobs, none of which she really, really loved. And she's wanting to start a business. And deep down in her gut, coming mysteriously from essence, is this little whisper that says, you're meant to do this big, audacious, amazing thing with your life. I'm gonna keep it fuzzy like that rather than get real specific about what this Tina two-step might be meant to do. But that whispers up from essence, from spirit. What do you think ego has to say about that? Remember, ego is thinking, calculating, filtering, and self-protective. What do you think ego has to say about that dream? That essence-born whisper. Trisha says, ego says she's not qualified. Yeah. Lynn says, don't get too big for your boots. Yup. Ego wants to protect you. Ego doesn't want you to put your hand in the hot flame. And let me tell you what, if you're going to chase a big dream, you're going to be putting your hand in a hot flame. So ego is going to try to protect you from it. Gina, ego says there are more important things to do, like the laundry. Yes, it's that. All the tricks are so good at distracting us with details. Oh, I forgot to finish the definition of trickster. Ego, trickster is just the name made up for that voice of ego. It's just the trickster. It's just the trickster talking. This is a term introduced by people long time ago, but it's used in radical leadership, which is a self-development personal leadership training I did. Trickster is just the voice of ego that's running in our head, whispering up, offering up these filters and calculations and self-protective ideas. We want ego to protect us from real danger. But ego also tries to protect us from perceived danger. And ego really can't tell the difference. Emotionally, we can't perceive the difference between real and imagined fear. So when essence offers up this dream, and ego says, wait a second, who do you think you are? You have no training for that. You're a divorced college dropout. You've had three different jobs in your life, none of them that you really liked. Who the hell do you think you are to think you could do something like that? And then it offers up 5,000 supporting ideas behind that. You're not trained. Nobody thinks of you that way. You don't have money for it. You don't have time for it. And on and on and on and on and on and on and on. The voice of the trickster is really easy to identify. Have you ever, when I talk about this, the question rises up for me. Well, what's the difference between a true analytical situation that needs to be dealt with versus a trickster thought? There's got to be a difference. And there is. But we can identify trickster in that trickster will usually come at you from a few foundational places. The four foundational beliefs of the trickster are, I am not enough. I am not worthy. I am not lovable. And I need to survive. Those are four foundational beliefs. When we can track the thought back to one of those, it's trickster. Other ways that we can identify trickster thoughts is that they are negative, critical, and fear-filled. There's all kinds of shoulda, woulda, coulda, should, have to, ought to, and it calls you to be anywhere but the present. Trickster, the self-protective inner voice of your ego, knows if I can pull her into the past or worry her into the future, she will not take an action right now. So, trickster has four foundational beliefs. You're not enough. You're not worthy. You're not lovable. You need to survive. And it's negative, critical, and fear-filled, full of shoulda, coulda, woulda, should, have to, ought to, calls you to dwell on the past or worry about the future. If it's purely an analytical decision to be made, it's not going to be about being negative or critical or fear-filled. We're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We're not saying, I don't want ego involved at all. But we're looking for where's the truly self-serving side of ego, and where's the overprotective helicopter mothering side of ego. Holy crap, Trisha, you just laid the perfect foundation for what we're going to talk about next session. She says, of course, sometimes some family and friends are tricksters. Uh-huh, yep. For the purposes of my discussions, I have a different term for them. I'll introduce you to tomorrow, but I call them border bullies. Cindy C says, I think I must have a family of tricksters living in my head. You know, I get it. Even though we give the voice of ego a name, it's for the purpose of spotting the thoughts that don't serve us. In some ways, I don't like giving it a name because I don't like to give you the feeling like that there's somebody in your head, because there isn't. It's your own thoughts. But by giving them a name of trickster, we're just identifying the thoughts that don't serve us and saying, thank you very much, trickster, but I'm not going to use that. So, stepping back really quick to these are our six sections, six potential areas of focus. To be successful as an entrepreneur, we have to put focus in one of these areas at a time, the right area of focus at the right time. And choosing that area of focus is practical. It's perfectly okay for ego to be involved in making that choice. Sometimes you need a little help. You need a coach, mastermind group, somebody to help you make that choice. But once you're clear, this is the area of focus that deserves my attention and action. And this is the amount of time I've got for it right now. It's when you are clear on all that and still don't do it. that intimidation is playing its part. And we want to take a look at what is Trickster saying here? What is intimidating me? What's going on? And what do I want to do about it? Knowing that ego has a good or bad role to play and spotting where Trickster is not serving us, that's that bright light of awareness. So let's say Tina Two-Step has decided to get clear about this dream that Essence has offered up to her. She has to spend time in that first area of focus, identifying purpose. What does this dream mean? What is it? What do I want to do with it? Who do I want to serve with it? What do I want it to look like and feel like? If Trickster can intimidate her into not seeing herself in that role, then she's never going to get anywhere. She's just going to get intimidated right out of it and never take any action moving forward into any of the other areas of focus. And honestly, if you know where your focus belongs and Trickster is intimidating you, intimidation is always an internal job. If Trickster is intimidating you, you need help. You need someone to help you shine a light on the Trickster. And I don't necessarily mean you need a coach. I don't necessarily mean you need to hire me. But anything you can do to shine the light, turn up the brightness of the awareness, is going to begin to crush the intimidation. So getting help might mean reading a great book like The Big Leap, or listening to a great podcast about mindset and self-confidence. If Trickster is offering up all kinds of negative, critical, fear-filled thoughts, then anything positive and life-giving that you can enter into the equation is going to help you. If you know what area of focus deserves your attention now and you're getting intimidated from it, if you can work with someone, if you can work with me or another coach or be part of a group of people, if you can come into the Facebook group and say, listen, here's the area of focus I know deserves my attention right now, and here are the Trickster thoughts intimidating me, then other people can help you turn up that focus, turn up that awareness, crush that intimidation, and get clearer about what's the exact next step I'm going to take. Would you be willing this week to, first of all, choose which area of focus deserves some of your time? I don't care if it's an hour, 3 hours, 10 hours. You're just going to know this area of focus deserves my time. Give it that time and listen to hear what Trickster offers up. What are the intimidating thoughts that come up? And then would you share them either in the Facebook group, with a friend, or with me on a private call? I'm going to give you the information right now on how to schedule that call with me. So you get a free 30-minute one-on-one call because you've signed up for this. The only rule about it is that you have to have already listened to this hour. So you guys are good. Here's the link. in the chat. This is a Calendly link that'll book 30 minutes with me. The calendar is set to only make certain periods of time available. So take whatever you find. If it's available, then I'm truly available. If I'm not available, then I haven't made the calendar open. So you can claim that time whenever you want. Sooner the better. There will eventually, I will eventually announce, like people from who've got this through BC Stack can be signing up any point, like through mid to September. So probably at the end of September is when I will be giving a deadline for claiming that call. But you can claim it whenever you want. I really do welcome the one-on-one chat. And it is not a sales call. It is purely in service of you. I do have coaching. I do have masterminds. And I would love any one of you to spend time with me either in a group or individually. But again, that's not the purpose of the 30 minutes. It's all for you. So there's the link. So to wrap it up, and let you guys go. We're going to be together for an hour each day. There's six areas of focus. We can be clear that one at a time deserves our attention. And the next natural one that deserves our attention, the trickster is going to intimidate us about it. And if we can just shine a light on those trickster thoughts, we can begin to crush the intimidation level and press through to take action. Now, I'd love thoughts and reactions. And is there anything anybody wants to say to feel deliciously complete for today? Anything at all?
Good timing, Kelly. You know, I think all of us have intimidators that come up at various times at any of the given six focuses. And just because we might think we're doing okay on, you know, one, two, or three, and then all of a sudden, whoops, nope, there's an intimidator there. So it's a good reminder. Any of us can get hit with it at any time.
This is Cynthia. I agree with Cindy. It's a great reminder. I also love how you started out with looking at a contrasting word to intimidation, which is invite and invitation. And so for me, it helps me to make a paradigm shift so that when I do feel intimidated, I can shift my thinking and look for ways to invite and flow in essence as opposed to ego. And intimidation. So it's great stuff. It's a lot to think about. And we will get the link, correct?
The link for the
recording.
Oh, yes. I'll be posting the recording along with the notes that I shared about the six areas of focus.
Awesome. I want to go back
by email.
I need to keep percolating stuff.
So we will be meeting two more teaching sessions, and then we'll have a Q&A session at the end of the week. They're all being recorded. I'm going to stop the recording now.